Welcome to the Nerdtastic in 3D podcast.
It's Nerdtastic in 3D. Oh, it's Nerdtastic in 3D. Yes, it's Nerdtastic in 3D. It's Nerdtastic.
Bong. And welcome to Nerdtastic in 3D, an entertainment industry podcast where we like to discuss anything awesome. And everything. Kind of nerdy, I guess.
Kind of.
Man, this is episode number 97. Nueve siete.
We've sat in the same room and bullshitted about stupid stuff 97 times.
On Not the record. Same room. Different rooms. Not
different
every time.
Room. Touche.
It has been quite a while, since our last episode.
We should get a food truck and take this on the road.
I think we just need a food truck, period. But on that note, I'm Jack Eckler.
I'm Josh LeBrot.
I'm Sean Fennell.
And in case you didn't know, we all currently are employees at DreamWorks. Look at that. I don't even need to go around the room.
Barely.
I'm a crowds artist here at DreamWorks. Sean is a crowd supervisor. And Josh is a layout camera kind of lead supervisor person now. We make movies and stuff.
Other people's movies?
At the moment, yes.
For the time being.
Don't shortchange us, Sean. Don't shortchange us.
Hello, Negative
Did
Nancy.
Did you wait?
I've missed doing this show. It has been... Unfortunately, we're sorry to all our guests who are getting used to the weekly shows. Life got in the way
that
for all of us.
That ain't happening anymore.
Yeah, life got in the way. No, it's coming back. Life sort of got in the way, but we're back this week, and we're kind of winging it this week. I'm gonna start throwing stuff out there, and just feel free to throw it back.
Well, the last time you guys recorded because I was not here was how long ago?
At least 3 weeks.
Okay,
I was gonna
so
say about
a month.
Yeah, I was gonna say about a month. Well, it's summer. It's vacation time. I went back to Florida, visited family. Went to the D World. Mm-hmm. Sean's on a personal vacation from his family.
Finding myself, really.
Josh really never goes anywhere. He's accumulated enough vacation to travel the world multiple times.
I'm working with Sean to do an interpretive dance of my life's journey.
You did
through the majesty of song.
Yeah.
So
it's
I don't
work
know.
In progress.
I'm trying to think. Let's catch up on some stuff. Let's talk about. I did. You know what I did get to see on the trip? I took my niece and my sister to a midnight screening on the Thursday before of Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. Sean, did you see it?
I did see
okay,
it.
Okay, so all of us were... My God, we all saw the same movie.
We all saw the same movie for
I want
once.
People to realize, as much as we love movies,
what?
That doesn't always happen.
What?
I was so insanely happy, like the happy surprise.
Yes.
Because Josh knows for sure, Sean, I don't know if I told you this, I... was not a fan of the trailers.
I was way skeptical of the trailer.
Yes.
Way skeptical. Like, I don't even know what this movie is.
In particular, for me, the music tone to what was happening. Because yes. I didn't understand the story. I hadn't read any of the comics. I didn't know any of that backstory on Peter Quill. P.S., we're probably going to drop some spoilers in here, so if you haven't seen it, skip this part of the podcast. Or just push through.
Suck it up.
Yeah, I hadn't heard any of his backstory. So the music to me, I remember with our one friend Dan Camp telling
pause
him
the podcast and then go see the movie and then come back.
And come back, yeah. The beauty of technology, you can do that. Was the music? I was like, this is you're making it corny. Why are you making these trailers corny with this music? And then sure hell enough, like the way it ties into the movie is awesome.
Yep, worked really well.
Sold.
Really amazed by what's his name, Raccoon Voice guy.
Bradley Cooper.
Bradley
Did you
Cooper,
once
man.
Think outside of going, holy
there
shit,
were,
that's Bradley Cooper?
There were, I think there were only two lines
really?
In which Bradley Cooper kind of came through. He wasn't as gruff as he was through the rest of it, but yeah.
I didn't once,
awesome.
Dude.
Awesome
I mean, I
job.
Left only thinking his name again going, holy shit, I had no idea that if you hadn't told me that's who that was, I wouldn't have known.
Mm-hmm. I did a great job.
Yeah. I'm Groot.
Which was good too. The personality between him and Rocket were amazing, and I just loved the bits where he kind of interprets what Groot's saying, like that's just what he says.
Yep.
I'm like, this is fucking awesome.
What's the name of the really big guy who talks very literally? through the whole thing. He reminded me of
Drax.
A person here.
Drax, yeah, Drax.
I think you could probably picture
who. Yes, yes, very, very, very much so. I concur. Yeah, it's, and I thought that was awesome, and that was something that they hid very well from the trailer. That, yeah, I'm sure people definitely. Who knew the comic line knew, or I don't know, maybe they don't, but I thought that was an awesome.
So
surprise.
This is coming from people that didn't read that comic, right? Josh, did you read that comic?
I did.
Okay.
Well, not in, like, you know, every single issue, but I've read a fair amount.
You caught up before you saw it.
So you were familiar with the tone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Familiar with the tone. They did a good job. They, in my opinion, they made Peter Quill a little bit, like, extra campy. He's really not that campy. I mean, in the comics, too, when it starts off, at least the ones that when I started reading it, he is, you know, he knows who his father is and all this other stuff. And
no.
So it's, you know, this was a good introductory movie, but, you know, if you've read just maybe like even three of them, you know, like a lot more
stuff
that's to come, if you will.
I watched a YouTube video where a guy called out, I might have sent it out to you on Hayes. It just was Easter eggs from the movie that he went into a little bit more and, like, explained. Because that was one of the things I asked him, like, who's his dad? Like, all of a sudden, the comic book nerd in me was like, I want to know everything now, you know, which is good. And I think that's the beauty of these movies are for the people who never really got into that. There's, like, this whole other market now for people to go back and read all this shit and, like, and buy all these comics, and, you know. Which is awesome. I mean, Disney's killing it on that front. Speaking of Disney, when I was down there in Florida, I realized that I'm pretty sure. Now, I lived there, for anybody who's listening. I lived in Florida pretty much my whole life. It's hell. That is where it's just hell. That is, it's the hottest fucking place.
Devil's Gooch.
Imaginable, yes. Dude, just the humidity. Like, you know, you come out to L.A. and California in general, you're like, if you're raised here on hot days, you're like, this is hot. Yeah. You don't know hot.
There's maybe 2 weeks sprinkled out throughout the year where you get similar
humidity.
You just
don't know.
Here, but it's so, yeah, it's dry. It's way different. Even in Chicago, it gets hot and humid.
Yeah.
And it's terrible.
Oh, it was so brutal, dude,
like,
at the parks.
Yeah, it's like someone's just smothering you with hot breath.
There were multiple times at the park walking around where it hit me. I'm like, I could have a stroke.
It's bad, because when it gets that humid and it gets that hot and the temperature is above your body temperature, your sweat does not cool you anymore. 100% humidity in the air and 97 degrees means that you cannot get cooler, period. You have to literally submerge yourself in something colder in order to cool your body off,
which is funny, because for people who don't know, when I did live there in Orlando for when I first moved there, for 5 years of my time there was spent working at Disney World at the what was the MGM Studios and now is the Hollywood Studios, doing, for a lot of it, character entertainment. Which,
for those of you who don't know,
not
in
the know, I was in costumes for 30 minutes on and 30 minutes off during that kind of heat. And it's, I think back now and I'm like, fuck yeah, that was hot. Dude, just going back this time, though, just felt so insanely different to me, though.
You're older.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's it, right? And I wasn't as hungover.
Yeah.
And I could really just...
You could really
take
focus
it. I could
it.
Really take it in, but...
Pussy.
Oh, dude, I was bad. Yeah, I literally felt like a pussy every day walking around. I can't even exaggerate with you with that, dude. It was just that
sweaty pussy.
It was that horrible. it was, you know, it'd be one thing if we were sitting by the pool and we were all bitching while drinking beer, like, ah, it's fucking hot. Then you say it, right? You walk around a theme park
with a costume on.
Well, no, that back then, that's something else. But just in general, without the costume, right. This time, just walking, like Epcot. Epcot's all about the walking, dude. Yeah, that whole damn park. There's not many rides. It's just a lot, especially when you get into the countries.
Right.
All you're doing is walking.
Excuse
Bless
me.
You.
Thank you.
And the worst part was seeing my kids who had...
Die of heat
dude,
stroke.
Who have never been in that. Yeah. Oh, it was bad. My littlest one got a fever, like... It came down with a fever while at Epcot. No, she ended up with a year. She's home today.
First recorded case of spontaneous combustion.
It stayed through the end of the trip. She had a my ex had to take her to the doctor yesterday. She had 103 still. Like, dude, it was watching them in the stroller be miserable was like, it was horrible, man. Does it hit me? I'm like,
you're spending money.
Yeah, we are at hell.
That's what I was thinking.
We're at hell. Oh, I got in the
sucker.
Got in the park for free, sucker. I didn't spend any money to get in. I maybe spent money on water. Oh, and the booze that I drank at Epcot, which is the best part.
Booze and chocolate mousse.
Booze.
All good.
Chocolate mousse.
Actually, Epcot Center is the first place I ever had chocolate mousse. Because we went to we did the around the world tour with all the restaurants, and we got to France, and they had chocolate mousse there, and I was like, oh, I'll give it a shot. Holy shit! It was my favorite dessert ever after.
And ever after? And ever after?
I had a sheltered childhood.
I could see that. So
I did too. Well,
but you had chocolate mousse before you were 14.
Chocolate mousse.
Actually, no, but that was by choice. Mm. I wasn't a
chocolate
remember. Fan as a kid.
Maybe.
Eh,
it wasn't.
It really doesn't matter.
Clearly, it didn't impact
does
my
not
life.
Define
Here's the deal.
Our nerdtastic.
Here's the deal. It did not. It didn't have an impact on my life. So I kind of put that one to the side. You know, what did impact my life was a video Josh sent me today at the end of the day, which is still sticking in my brain.
Oh, the fucking ants.
Yeah, about a tribe in the Amazon, who, as part of passage to adulthood. Is they make you wear these gloves. Now, what was interesting from the video Josh sent to the Nat Geo kind of special I sent Josh at the end of the day was these people, which can our kids can be as young as 12, put on these gloves for 10 minutes at a time, and they take them off. Now, within the gloves are bull ants.
Bullet ants?
Bullet ants.
Bullet.
Those fucking things are nuts.
They place them... They drug them, so the chief drugs them in this mixture, so they fall asleep. They have people through a like palm frond weave of a glove, put the stingers pointing on the inside.
Of course they do.
So as they slowly wake up, they slide that palm frond glove inside a bigger glove so you can't see them. Mm. And then the kid walks up, slides his hands in, wears them for 10 minutes... And then takes them off. Now, as a tribe passage, you do this throughout your life or childhood 20 times.
Wow. So for anyone who doesn't know what a bullet ant does...
And why it's named that,
why
mind
it's
you.
Named a bullet ant is it has a bite. It has very large pincers on its front, and it will bite you, and the toxins produce pain.
And they have actually
purposes.
A stinger.
No, they have a stinger.
They have a stinger.
That's where they place them upside down.
Too, well, they do have giant pincers, but they bite you, and they can sting you too, but they call them bullet ants because it feels like you got shot by a gun when you get stung. The toxin, I can't remember what type it is, what the name of the type
it
is.
It almost is a neurotoxin because it does create
It's designed to create pain, and there's a different...
And a paralysis in a way, too.
Right. Well, yeah, but there's a different name for toxins specifically that create pain.
Okay.
Like they attach to pain receptors, and they just cause pain. Constant, fiery, angry pain that lasts for like 12 hours.
What's crazy is that the way it's designed for this glove is that when they place them in there and they wake up, they're clearly angry. And they're stuck within this with their stingers facing into the glove. They also, when the first one stings...
Getting bit by one is bad enough. Getting bit by multiple over your hands?
Hundreds.
You couldn't use your hands for a whole day.
It lasts 24 hours.
Release a pheromone when the first one stings...
To piss all
the
other
ones surrounding
off.
Ones to sting as well. Mm-hmm. So when you put the gloves on, you're stung over 100 times. Now, that's within the 5-minute one of the first video Josh sent, and the guy couldn't even for 5 minutes in that one.
He put it on.
He put it on.
He literally put it on and was like, and then, like, they immediately took it off.
this was some tourist who was for a stunt. The video I set out was actually from the tribe guy, and that's where I got the 10-minute thing, it lasts for 24 hours, the pain. Mm-hmm. The video, the other video that was midway through that Josh sent back out was another Nat Geo reporter who did it.
There is a National Geographic guy who has a show where he like volunteers to have this stuff done to him, and then he reports on what it's.
Oh yeah, he does it. I mean, the guy does
probably
it.
This one.
At some point, he takes his hands. I mean, he finally clearly can't handle anything anymore.
He does it the whole five. Like it's 5 minutes.
No, he does the whole.
He
does the whole time, but afterwards, he finally gets to a point where they, you know, off camera they put him in. He takes his hands and puts it into pure ice water,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, you know, this is the most relief I've had so far in this. But the best is at the very beginning. He's like, when he's starting to like hallucinate a bit too, and he's like, how long is this last? And he's like, the guy's like 24 hours. He's like, how long has it been? An hour.
He goes, just like, under an hour. And he's like walking around. And he's like starting to freak out. He goes like, oh, I want the gloves off.
He still thinks he has the gloves on his hands.
And he's like just kind of like freaking out and stuff like that. And then when he puts it in the water, he's sitting there. He's like almost crying. And he's just like, I can like, but he's like hallucinating happy.
Right.
You know, he's just like, oh, I can feel
my
hands. Because
it's a change, right?
Like, yeah.
What people don't understand is this. It's not a type of pain that falls off over the 24 hours. It stays the same intensity for the entire time until your body finally gets rid of it.
Which is that's the 24-hour period where it finally leaves you.
So you stay pretty much in 100% pain the whole time.
Now, the guy in the first video...
That can make you insane.
Who just put it on really fast and then took him off, they ended up taking him... He finally went to a doctor after an hour period. So he stayed an hour in the hut.
This shit.
He stayed an hour in the hut. Going through every range of emotion you can fathom. Seven stages, he hits 20.
Seven stages, he's like, there's the shrill, because he's all... Yeah.
They were so bad.
It's like all these things. There's the screaming, and he's like, oh, God!
There's the swearing,
he's just like...
And Anchorman was like, they're coming! They're coming in the house! Oh, my God!
He had the sweating.
The sweating. There was the swearing.
Your body's pretty much in shock.
The shaking.
That's shock. Yeah. That's like a whole bunch of different
symptoms. They put him. They took him to the doctor and they put him on morphine. And it took over 2 hours before it finally, with the morphine,
good God,
subsided.
So now he's brain dead. Pretty much.
No, he's like, I like that poker much.
It would probably hurt less to have your hands cut off.
I can't imagine. I had no idea. Like, I listened to the other reporter say it. Like, just one will make it feel like a bullet has hit you.
Yeah.
They're getting stung hundreds of times, and each hand.
It's ridiculous. But it kind of makes you think, there are no coming-to-age rituals in the Western world now.
No, this is in the Amazon of Brazil.
Yeah, they've all been gone. They died with the Native Americans. They're gone. There's no sun, sun ritual. There's none of that stuff. So, like, teenagers go through their goth stage because they got nothing. They got no one.
Well, the guy said
they don't have anything fucking with them.
Well, the chief leader said, he goes, how do you know, how can you be a man without experiencing some kind of cruelty or pain in your life, is what the chieftain was saying. He's like, and this is why we put each one of our warriors through this, because how do you know yourself, how do you whatever through life? If you haven't, now what blew me away is you watch this one video and then I watch this other where it's like, dude's gonna go through this 19 more times.
Well, I mean, 19. Also imagine, like, how can you have any kind of real empathy for people who are in pain if you've never been in any pain yourself? Ever?
Absolutely,
you have.
Absolutely.
There's no way to feel empathy for that.
Well,
you
they
don't
said that's one of the
it.
Worst pains. One of the worst pains a human can feel is that. Whatever that mm-hmm. venom is, let alone what
that
they do.
That and kidney stones is the worst pain that a man can probably feel.
And women. I've one of my exes, I was at the hospital with while she was trying to pass, and I felt so helpless, dude. And the doctor's like, yeah, it's like this potentially hurts more than if she was having a kid right now.
Really?
Like, what? I'm like,
because I've heard the doctors say that like kidney stones are the closest a man can get to the pain of pregnancy.
The threshold of
So another, like, I'm kind of behind the game, but I've been watching Full Metal Alchemist my first time through,
which is an anime for the people not
anime.
Know.
There's a Japan version and there's an American version, which is really good. It's fucking amazing the gravity that this story has, but it kind of represents that these kids have gone through some significantly traumatic things in their life. When they were very young, and now they're 14 and 15 years old, and they are pretty much adults at that age because of the shit that they've gone through and the shit that they've seen. And that doesn't really happen anymore.
No, you're right. I mean, there's something to be said for that. You watch the video, and I mean, what was funny about the first guy...
I shouldn't say that's really inaccurate that it doesn't happen anymore. Of course it happens in a lot of places, but...
Just not here in America.
But most privileged people don't experience that at all.
When the Westerner did it, what was funny is part of the ritual is they have you dance while you're doing it with the group
to distract you
and at first it was so the guy was so funny he tried and he basically without it, so many words was like fuck the dance.
My dance would be writhing on the floor rolling around probably.
Oh god, it just watching him I couldn't fathom it, but then you watch that the actual tribes people do it so much longer and then it got me down the rabbit hole.
They don't say anything, they're just like don't squeal.
Can you imagine going to war with someone like that? They just don't feel pain. Shit. They're probably not afraid of anything either.
Yeah, what are you gonna hit them with?
Except crazy gods.
Yeah, what are you going to hit?
You would have to scare them away. That's probably the only thing that you could do. Psychologically scare them to the point where they don't want to fight. Because you might not be able to kill them.
That's true.
Psychological warfare.
You know it's a good thing? I'm not fucking going down there anytime. I'm not going to the Amazon anytime soon.
No bullet ants for me.
There are a couple of places I don't ever want to go. The Outback, the Amazon, and anywhere in Africa.
You don't like the Bloomin' Onion?
Anywhere in Africa. I'm going to concur with everything you just said. I'm sorry. I'm going to concur with that.
That's what somebody said the other day. I was like, where wouldn't you go? I pretty much go to I go Middle East, and they're like, if it ends, if it ends in a stand, I'm probably good. Now I'm not knocking anybody. Hey, it is just it's not the right time for a Westerner to go to those countries.
Did you see? I don't know if any of you guys watched the This Week with John Oliver.
Only the ones that you've sent me that were pretty good.
He was back in the day. He was talking, or not back in the day. The thing's only been on about 2 months or something like that. One of the first couple of episodes, he was talking about one of the leaders of God. Where was it?
Al Shabaab.
Somewhere. I really am gonna just
butcher it. We have it on record.
Exactly. So he's talking about basically this dictator that threw a giant party just for his poodle. Or not poodle, but like his little tiny dog. And it was just like this a lavish thing. And during, I don't know if it was a UN thing or something about, you know, it was on like a news station. It was like, this country is mad at John Oliver. Apparently he has upsetted the dictatorship regime with the way he was talking about, you know, their leader. And so it cuts to John Oliver, and he's just like, oh, fuck. And he's just like, I think it was in Turkey. And so he goes, or Thailand or Turkey. So he goes, so clearly I am never going to go there. He goes, so let's just make him as pissed off as I can. And so he like starts rattling off stuff.
Here, John.
In the article, it says like, or, you know, say Turkey or something like that. They've said, you know, the dictatorship has been thrown off skew because of John Oliver's, like, responses. He goes, okay, let me just say, if you're throwing off your dictatorship, your dictatorship was rocky to begin with. And, oh, God, it was hilarious, but yeah.
It's true.
It's like, so you see, but apparently it's like it's against the law to, you know, badmouth.
To do whatever the fuck you want.
Well, the badmouth the leader of these things. So,
of course it is. If you do that, then the dictatorship loses power.
Exactly. Right.
So absolutely it's against
the
law.
So he goes like, oh, he goes, so let's go ahead and check off a few more countries that I'm not ever going to go to. Or like, you know, like, let's go ahead and break some laws. So he's just like, oh, hey, Denmark. And like, so like the leader of Denmark, he's just like, oh, you know, your face looks like a, you know, box terrier or something. And it shows, you know, whatever a stupid thing it is. But basically he's insulted these leaders of each one of these countries. He's just like, bring it. And it was great. It was really funny.
Watch. He's going to get killed. He's going to get.
Well, if he does, he earned it.
Fair enough. So, something else that we did talk about that me and you partaked in this year, Joshua, one of the first years I've known him not to go, was Comic-Con. We didn't talk about that this year.
Comic-Con. Yeah, I took a break from it this year.
Young Josh didn't make it down.
It's okay. I've been to many in the years in a row, and I have to say, though, like, seeing videos and pictures of friends' posts and stuff like that, I did get a little sad of, like, But then I remember, like, cool
stuff. It would have been fun to roam
thousands upon thousands of people.
You know, it's really hard to, like, hear the numbers and look at the pictures and really grasp how many people that actually is until you're out on the street with them, amongst them, being like, holy shit, there are people standing in line like 3 blocks from the convention center for something you don't even know what it is.
Yeah, on a crowded day in Disney, you can move more fluently than, like, in the convention center or, like, downtown, you know, Gaslamp District of San Diego.
Yeah. And
I went down for a day. This is the first time going alone, which...
I went alone as well.
Which I'm a freak with that kind of stuff anyways. I just like doing things with my friends. And that, I've realized even more so, that kind of thing I really like doing with my friends. Because you see cool shit and you want to sit and talk to somebody. And here I am. I'm like, for some reason.
You want to debate over who's going to buy it. And then you want to go to the bar afterward and talk about it.
I felt like a fucking tourist. Like a weird tourist. There's a lot of people who can do that. I get that 100%. And I'm not knocking anybody who listens to the show who's a one-man army can do that stuff.
That's me.
And Sean does that kind of stuff. I don't. But I love going down there, and I love seeing all the cool shit. But it was not as fun a day as I have had down there. How's that? I've had much funner times down there with friends than I did me just sort of roaming. Which, don't get me wrong, I saw friends. I ran into a lot of people that I knew, which was cool. But it wasn't the same as going with friends and, like, having your crew who you sort of walk around with and see stuff and, like, bitch if you're going to wait in that line with them or keep walking and stuff. But there's still some cool shit. Sean, so you went after I went. I just went on a Thursday. Did you see the that Batman I was talking about, the Square Enix? Batmans that are there?
Yeah,
they're fucking the
really
coolest Batmans I've ever seen.
Oh, all of those different.
I posted them on my Facebook page. Yeah, dude, they're so badass, man. There were some super fucking cool ones there.
To me, it feels, though, a little bit like they're turning it into... Remember, like, the Spawn toys that came out? And then there's, like, the Samurai Spawn, and then the Cowboy Spawn. To me, I feel like it's going that route where a little bit where I'm just like, oh,
they're definitely offshoots that are taking...
Reel that in just a tad.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. They were dope. They were doper than any of the Spawn toys I have, that's for sure.
Did you guys go to any panels or anything?
No.
I had a friend, Andy, who has a podcast as well, and he posted they spent the night. So he started like at 4 o'clock the day before, and I guess they spent the night for the Hall H panel on the Saturday that had the DC stuff where Zack Snyder and like Affleck and
usually Saturday came out. The Hall H is pretty epic.
But they spent the night.
I saw Paul Rudd there. That was interesting.
I saw Wesley Snipes and Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, hell yeah.
I didn't tell you that, dude? Awesome. Oh, at the Fox booth, they had the Expendables, like, the guys who were there. And I walked, and I came around a corner, and Wesley Snipes was taking, like a panoramic pic with his cell phone. I was like, oh, shit. Old Dolph's looking pretty old, buddy. You're looking pretty old. It's good you're still kicking, but it was him, Dolph Lundgren. It was... who was the UFC guy who was really popular? Who's
Randy
in there?
Randy Couture.
Yeah, Randy Couture was there.
Randy Couture was there.
And I think one of the younger guys I didn't recognize.
Was Ortiz
was
there?
No.
Okay.
Maybe. Who?
He's.
There was some younger guys.
He's not in the movie, though.
There were some younger guys.
He's on like the opening credits of the trailer. He's listed amongst all the other people.
What, Tito? Is that your name?
No, I don't think it's Tito.
I would have recognized him. No, there was a couple younger actors, but I didn't recognize them. Who else did I see?
Ronda Rousey's in it.
Maybe she was there.
I saw a post from her that said she wants to be the highest paid actress in Hollywood.
Really?
Yeah. Good luck.
Work on that.
Yep.
Gotta have goals.
She's a
aim for the sky and hit the
pretty,
moon.
She's a pretty strong woman, though.
She might make it happen.
She'll probably just kick her ass. She'll kick her ass to the way to the.
Is she gonna fight her way in?
She is quite the dominating force when it comes to those women.
I realized too, you know what sucked is that because I didn't get in first thing in the morning, and because I wasn't there multiple days to sort of see the booths that had things that I'd want the next day, because for people not in the know, there's all these exclusives, right? But they don't sell them all on the first day, which is great for people who are going to come multiple days or people who don't come till later in the week. But they only sell a certain amount. Mm-hmm. And those go first thing in the fucking morning. And I can't tell you, dude.
In line for that shit
there
too.
Was probably five or six things I saw that I legitimately wanted. I wanted to buy if I could that were sold out. By the time I got to the booth, like walking through, that I wasn't going to be there the next day to get. Like they had the Hot Wheels had like the DB, like James Bond original DB7 in this cool case. I'm like, sweet, I want that. I was going to get it from my boy Reese as well. What else? There was the one Batman, the Square Enix, the fucking sick-ass one. I would have bought that. That was gone. The books, dude, that are super cool that I have that I got as gifts for my kids. The Darth Vader with, like, Luke and then Darth Vader with...
Oh, yeah.
With Slaya. Did you see the figures? General Giant did...
No, I didn't see the figures.
General
That's
Giant
awesome.
Did a figure with each of them, dude. And
what's that
awesome.
Book? Like, my... Hey, what dad's they call it? Darth Vader
Darth
or, like,
Vader's
My dad.
And, or something
and,
like that.
Yeah, is my... or is my...
Daddy Darth or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
They're cute books.
No, they're cute. I have
one
both
of them. One
with
Luke and one with Leia.
Yeah, yeah. I have both of them. But they had maquettes of each one. One with Luke and one with Leia.
That's what I remember seeing.
And they had them for sale, but they were both sold out when I was there as well. Shit. I was just kind of... And it felt like that's what kept happening. And then the Lego booth, I have the same thing. I was like, oh, this would be awesome. Check out the line, dude, to get in the Lego store. The little pop-up store they have in the convention floor, dude, wrapped fucking all the way around. I'm like, you know, you're there for a day. It's like, I can't blow 2 hours here when the floor, for anybody who's been there, it literally took me from probably 10:30 till 5-something to get through the whole floor. Yeah. And that was stopping a little bit, but not much.
I was there about the same amount of time, and I walked 10 miles just looking at stuff. So That's just how much you're in for.
Oh, and I skipped over shit. I skipped over some of the older comic ones that are there. Mm-hmm.
I barely went through the artist's booths, like the ones that are there drawing shit. Like I went really quickly through there and didn't see
anything. Did you start on that side or the other side?
No, I started kind of right in the middle and then sort of went to the artist's side and then went back down the other direction. But yeah, it was a lot of stuff. But my favorite part was you come out of Comic-Con... And on the corner across in the street is all the Jesus freaks out there with their posters and their megahorns talking about how Jesus is the light and the life and he will save you and you should come to him and everything goes through heaven through him. And it was amazing because there were people out there yelling back at him. And one guy like got really, really pissed off at a comment that one of the guys made. And so people started showing up with Satanists posters. And there was like a big like religious kind of protest right out there in front of all of the Comic-Con crowd.
There's always the Jesus guys for sure.
Always. They're there every year. This is like the worst that I've seen them get with like people like confronting them and stuff. I wanted to show up with a Spaghetti Monster poster and be like, everyone, the Spaghetti Monster, ever rule all. I was expecting the Cthulhu guys to show up and, you know, a couple of, yeah, an army of Scientologists, and that would have been amazing. I think we should do that if we all go next year, just someone come as a different religion, and we all just kind of spawn
just
our own
stand,
shit.
Well, you got to stand, like, literally just right next to each other.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, so it's like...
and then start a fight later on and fight each other.
Yeah. Everything's through God. Next sign.
Yeah.
God does not exist. There is no God. Next sign. Satan is king, and like you know, it just runs the gambit.
I want to poster with an arrow to the right. Everywhere. Everything this guy says is wrong, and I'm just gonna hold on to that one.
All of this is bullshit.
There should just be one guy that's got an "I'm with this guy" poster, and it's got an arrow that points up.
Look at you. That would be. They would love you.
Oh my god, that's perfect.
They would love you.
I'm with this guy.
Where'd you go, 2 days? Did you go 2 days?
Yeah, I went 2 days. So I got there too late on Friday to see anything, so I just hung out and walked around Coronado. And then I went there on Saturday, and I went there at the morning on Sunday before I left.
Nice.
And it rained. It rained on my way back on Sunday, which is actually kind of cool.
What you
it's cool for California people.
Hmm?
What you doing in Coronado?
Coronado, I just wandered around pretty much. Yeah.
Just get drunk.
Ate in an Irish bar and got drunk and then wandered around the beach. It was really cool, too, because it's right, like, the Hotel Del is right there. So they offer, like, cook s'mores on the beach, and they got a bunch of fire pits, and you light up a fire and you cook your s'mores, and everyone was like singing and shit, and it was like a big like party. And I walked further down the beach, and there was a big ass inflatable movie screen playing, you guessed it, A New Hope. Star Wars A New Hope episode.
So did you just pop a squat on the sand, dude, and watch, or what?
Well, I was kind of wandering around. I didn't pop a squat and watch because, I've seen that movie like 800,000 times, so I kind of knew every piece of it. But it was just fun to walk around and just, like, everything going on.
I've never been over to that island.
Oh, it's so nice. It's really nice. The buildings, the houses are really cool. Architecture style. It's a cool place. I'd live there if it didn't cost like $1.3 to $8 million
to live there.
Yeah,
really,
it's expensive.
That's exactly what it is here, though.
Yeah, depending on where you want to live.
Well,
yeah.
So you cannot find a house for less than like $600,000 there, though.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Did you pull up the old Redfin and check it out? Check
well,
out the
you
island?
Know, in the hotel they had like little
real estate guys.
Yeah, well, real estate guys. Like, let's check this out. I'll let you
right, cool. I've masturbated yeah, four times. Good. I can take a break now.
Exactly.
Let's see what the old real estate is here in San Diego.
Yep, I'm back to another turn.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So on to something else cool that happened. Actually, it happened this week. Is the CEO from Oculus. Came,
yes,
and gave a talk. And for anybody who doesn't know, is Oculus is the consumer grade VR headset that got a lot of hype on Kickstarter and then was sold to Facebook for what it sell for?
$2 billion.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
And he's also 24.
22.
And the guy is surprisingly funny,
yes,
and smart and articulate for a 22-year-old.
I think it shocked us all.
It shocked us all. We kind of walked in the kind of expecting half douche, half guy who's so nerdy you really can't follow him.
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect.
But he was very cool. He broke things down in a very nice way and made allusions to our industry, which, you know, kept people connected. And it was really cool. And he was very clear about how, like, I'm a hardware guy. I'm not really good at making fun pictures and stuff like that. Like, that's for you guys. We're going to let you guys do that because you're awesome at it, and I kind of respect the fact that you can do it because I can't. But I'm a hardware guy, so I'm working on this side of the thing. And our company is leaving it up to the creatives to use it for creative purposes. So he knows where he's at.
He touched on so many things that I didn't. I didn't realize or never think about
unless you were actively trying to do this stuff.
Yeah.
Like the types of motion that makes you sick. And in all of its crazy variety. And how video games don't directly port in any way to VR most of the time because they're not designed for any kind of realistic physical motion ever.
The examples that got me were like game where he talked about like things like the light bulbs in games and like Team Fortress and like where cameras are in characters when we play first person shooters that are mostly in your chest because it just works better. But when you know the idea when you put on the VR headsets are you're looking supposedly through the POV of the character and then that changes everything. He used an example of Skyrim that for everything to work when you play the game normally, all the characters are scaled up at a scale that we would never see because you play it at that
minimum of 7 feet tall.
Yeah. But when you put on the VR, when they ported it over to VR, you're seeing everything on how it really is. So everybody walks up to you like lanky 7 foot aliens.
And they're standing like 3 inches from you.
Yeah, they're
doing
really
the close
talking
to you. Thing.
Yeah.
Because that's how it's presented on the screen. That's across the room from you, right? But once you do that and you're in the goggles, you can't do the same composition that you have on a television. You have to make it real world scale. And he talked about like light bulbs. Just look at light bulbs in video games. They're gigantic. Even the ones that you're not supposed to shoot out, like they're gigantic because as they go off into the distance, if they turn into little pinpricks, they just look really bad.
They look normal to us in gameplay, but he goes, when you put on the goggles, he's like, when you put on the VR stuff that you see.
Like a softball sized light. Yeah. It just looks wrong. It's like a basketball sized light. Yeah, and it just looks wrong. So he said, like, VR, everything has to really be to scale, or else you mess with people's brains. The other thing that I mentioned, which I thought was hilarious, was the Team Fortress 2 conundrum.
Yeah.
So like they measured the scout and how fast the scout can move, and they said it's something like 24 miles an hour, which means, and this is
mind you, instantly.
So this is something that I noticed way back when I first started playing first-person shooters, was like, when you move instantly. There's no acceleration. You don't like ramp up to the speed that you're going to run at. And you strafe, move left and right, forward and back. And I remember noticing when I was younger that no one ever really moves that way in real life. So I always had a hard time strafing appropriately because it didn't register to me. I didn't understand, like, people can't move like this. Why? But he mentioned, like, people don't move like that. So it ends up really making people sick when you start making them move like that. But on top of it, instant acceleration is bad. Especially for VR, because like you have this very, very sophisticated inner ear balance system that pretty much lets you know whether you're accelerating or not. And if your eyes are telling you you're accelerating and your ears are not, your brain really freaks out and it doesn't like that. So he talked about when you move forward with the scout, you're going about 24 miles an hour, and from that forward run, you can immediately go backwards 24 miles an hour. So that's a difference of 48 miles an hour. So you can literally accelerate in an instant 48 miles an hour, which doesn't really work well for your brain. And he said, these are the types of things that we've found out. The other thing that was really interesting was he said, well, you would think naturally, okay, we'll make a smooth ramp up to that speed over time. That makes perfect sense. That will make everyone feel great. They found out that that doesn't work either. You can't slowly ramp someone up to that speed. It's actually better if it's a really, really quick ramp up instead of a really long, slow, smooth ramp.
It's like you just made it worse. Elongated the sickness.
They actually made it worse and made you feel more sick by trying to like slowly get you to that speed, because your brain is like, your brain just doesn't process it properly.
And so because all of that, you're never supposed to do this stuff really standing up.
Yeah.
You have to do it sitting down because you literally, your head is like, your eyes feel, you know, your eyes are seeing something, your head is seeing something, just like you said with the inner ear thing. All of a sudden, you're just like, what? And then everybody.
Talk about that video, the video in Russia about
the guy, the guy is sitting there with on the roller coaster, which is one of the.
Those haircuts were so bad.
The sample demos that you get with the Oculus, and one of them is a roller coaster. And this guy is standing there, and I don't know if it's his buddy or if it's the...
It's his buddy.
It's his buddy that's standing behind him as the cart is basically about to go into the drop sequence in the beginning of it. He kind of gives him, like, a little bit of a shove, and which basically throws the guy off into just a tizzy fit of just screaming in panic.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. And just, like, he's immediately, like, trying to force himself
backwards. He fell backwards because he thought he was going to fall over the
thing. Yeah, because he thought he was going to fall over the edge. But then he couldn't stop because I don't know if it was just them trying to hold him up and him, like, then just pushing forward. It just still feels like a constant fall because I haven't hit ground yet to give myself some sort of leveling. And then, like, he finally hits the ground and they take off the thing. I mean, he's pulling fucking wires everywhere. Yeah. Shit's all fucked up.
Yeah, like, seven people jumped to his aid because he flipped out.
But then
so
when he
badly.
Took off the thing, he immediately starts laughing because he's just like, I'm not dead. You know, I am alive. But yeah, he committed.
It's insane what your brain tells. I mean, what you see is, you know, that it tells your brain. That's what we're seeing. Yep. And, you know, the whole idea behind it is being totally immersed in this thing. So, you know, you're only seeing what your eyes can see. And then what was interesting is how he talked about how things that you would think would be the coolest things to do, our brains just don't like. Because they don't know how to comprehend. He's like, he's an example of, like, say, like a game like Portal, where he's like, if I wanted to do something cool, wouldn't it be awesome if I had to look at something and then jump through that and then jump there and then jump there? He goes, yeah, as cool as it sounds, your brain doesn't know what to do with that.
Yeah, and like floating through space.
It wants to do what it knows.
I think I'd be
walk
all right
slow
floating through space. But yeah, your brain wants things to be rooted in reality.
Yes.
Unless it's so unrealistic you can completely detach from it. Those are the only two states that your brain can really work well in. Anything in between, and it confuses.
Which was interesting. Which was interesting when he talked about that. One of the things he talked about were the developers of these games are a bad litmus test for whether or not they're doing good on the VR or not, because over time, for people, including himself, he brings up as you watch the experience more and more with the VR goggles or any experience in general, eventually your brain and that inner earlobe, your eyes, disconnect and think that, well, this is just a normal thing you always do, so this is fine.
They adapt to it like a deaf person would adapt to being deaf, like a person who's got lazy eyes would adapt to being two different visions and two different eyes. Like, your brain adapts to and it disassociates. It pretty much says, when this is on my head, nothing is real.
And that's what he said.
And ignore whatever's happening in your inner ear.
He said, basically, you could do anything with it now. You could put me in a room, spin it 1,000 times, you know, all around. And he goes, that won't affect me anymore. Help. He goes, clearly, he wants to see this. I mean, which, you know, that's his business. I mean, he wants to see this expand.
So we started kind of... elaborating on what might happen now that he's a part of Facebook, and the fact that he's got pretty much the largest social network at his fingertips, and just a gigantic amount of money available to fund. It's very possible that social networking will be virtual reality networking at some point, which actually sounds pretty cool. I might need
which
to get
is,
a Facebook.
Yeah, which is kind of.
I might need to get a Facebook account one of these days.
Oh my god, dude! The world's ending when Fennel gets a Facebook account.
Well,
mark my words, folks.
Anyone who saw that movie, Surrogates, right? Where it's essentially Surrogates.
Right?
That's what I am pictured in my head. Is you can be in a virtual world and interacting with people as if they were right in front of you, and B, you can be controlling something remotely. Both of those things are fucking awesome, and I would totally be in on it.
Can you imagine if you can go to a concert? If you can be like in a concert like that, but at home,
that'd be
and
great.
Being experiencing it.
I wonder what would happen to like society.
But would you want to? That's my point, Sean. That's my point.
I would because I hate traffic.
And
that
I'm
would
with,
be my
but,
whole
but I but I look at or, Josh who loves that loves that concert experience.
Same thing though too. It's like, I mean, granted, it's one of those things where it wouldn't necessarily be like your surrogates. Like how he was saying, they're trying to think about not augmented reality stuff, but like sitting there watching a courtside basketball game.
Right.
You know? But, you know, they haven't obviously, there's many variables that, you know, kind of throw a wrench into the system. But if you could get that down, when are you going to be able to sit there and afford courtside seats at the Lakers?
Right.
You know,
if you could,
if there's something that allows you to like the ability to experience that in your home, looking as basically you're there, like with headphones on,
that would be
like,
sick.
That would be amazing.
You could pay a $50 pay-per-view fee and be on the side of the ring of the UFC title fight.
Oh, absolutely
amazing!
Seriously.
Now, what he didn't touch on, we were all curious in our row, was about the adult entertainment industry.
Yeah.
Nobody sort of dived in and asked him that question, considering he came here to DreamWorks to talk about stuff.
There were children
in the crowd.
But clearly,
someone must be messing with that.
Clearly, that is a direction this could have.
I'm
huge
looking at
impact.
You, Japan.
This could have a huge impact on, as far as anything. I mean,
imagine like Feelovision porn.
Well, that's what I was saying in the row. It would take two devices, right?
Pretty much. One
strapped to your junk and headset.
Maybe three if there's a lot of licking involved. But still, I mean,
a lot of licking. Depending on how much tongue you want, Sean's going there.
Right. Sean would have to be in some kind of like isolation chamber, dude, that does all the sensory shit to him.
What? I just pointed out another thing that
could
happen.
Can I get my porn with a level 2 tongue?
Yeah, I'm going to need that ramp. Is that going to cost me extra?
I come out and I like chug the freaking just like a Napoleon Dynamite, but he's done dancing. Like,
it's like that Rick and Morty.
Yeah, the Rick and Morty where he comes down from the sex bot and he's like, hey, everybody, grabs the orange juice and just like, down. All right, I'm going back upstairs.
I love the daughter. Like, are, so we're us, just, are we just going to ignore? Are we not going to talk about this?
That movie, that show. If anyone has never seen Rick and Morty, just watch all the episodes. They're awesome.
Yeah, they're amazing. Awesome. They're absolutely.
It is actually the best rated cartoon on television.
Is it?
Yeah.
You look at IMDb, it's like nothing ever good gets rated on IMDb. This thing has like a 9-star rating on IMDb.
It's amazing.
Oh, really?
A 9 yeah. point something. You're just
it
like,
was funny because the guy was on the radio talking about the fact that he's worked for different studios and different you know, production companies and stuff like that. He was talking about how working on Community, like, he didn't expect Community to be as popular as it was because it was such a niche kind of story device. And the product, you know, the studio was the same way. They're like, oh, put it in this shitty slot. And it ended up being good enough to stay there for a really long time. And he saw like a whole, like every year he had a new boss because the vice president or some internal weird conflict would go on and they'd all be throwing all their notes on the show like, gotta do it this way. And he's like, you never really can tell whether the notes you're getting are genuine to make the show better or are just internal political battles and someone has to put their 2 cents in so that someone else watching knows that that happened. Then he talked about Rick and Morty and that experience. He's like, Adult Swim is like a fucking guy in Texas who doesn't give a shit, and he lets you do whatever you want. And the notes that he gives, like we pretty much implement them all because he's brilliant, and the only thing he cares about is making the show awesome.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't have any of the stuff that you get from a big studio environment. And he's like, I love it. It was great. It was an amazing experience working with that group.
So I've been trying to. So my wife is doing his wedding.
That's awesome.
And
so the creator of that?
Yeah, Dan Harmon. And so I told her, I was like, so normally, you know, it is a kind of a service business that she does, being a wedding planner and stuff like that. So I was like, she usually gets tipped, you know, at the end of her, you know, of the wedding. And I told her, I'm like, oh, will you ask him if you can forgo any tip or anything like that? If I can be a voice or a character in Rick and Morty in one episode next season. And she's just like, oh, I can't ask him that. I was just like, I will ask him that. And so she's just like, I don't know. That would be pretty cool. She goes, she's trying to find the stones to actually say it.
So have her record you on her phone making the pitch or the request and then just let her play it for him. She doesn't have to ask anything.
That's a good idea.
And you can get your
question. That's a good idea.
What voice are you going to go with?
I don't know. Like, I just want to... There's many.
Are you giving
voices.
A movie? Are you giving
a
movie?
Bit of a discovery phase.
Is it going to be a movie phone voice?
Let's hear some of the voices.
The one I always love doing, I think it's like the fun character, is like that guy when I, or that kind of tone I would use, I'd be in the car. It's like, can I go left? Can I go right? Guys?
Yeah, the nerdy, like,
can I go left? Can I go left? Can I go right, guys? Can we go? Hi, everyone. Hi.
I can kind of picture the alien that you would be.
So it's like, yeah, I mean, that's just like, I love doing that voice. It's just fun because it's just an annoying character. But yeah, I'm really hoping. So fingers crossed I can be a character or voice in the Rick and Morty.
That happens for you.
Oh, I do too.
You can get your SAG actor's card.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, he's both big time. You're in. Does voices.
Damn right. I'd hope so. So we'll see.
Well, Dan Harmon, if you're listening, Josh got your back.
Yeah, that's right.
Josh wants to be in you.
You're the best, Dan. You're the best.
When that VR sex comes out,
I'm telling you, I'm telling you, folks.
But yeah,
that's gonna be huge with that.
That'd be huge for military people.
Well, they're the only ones that kind of they're the only ones that have actually been able to use it because they have the resources. And
I mean, the people like overseas wanted to bang some banging.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
yeah. With their
honey,
with the ladies at home.
Is it cheating at that point? Once we hit the VR stage, is it cheating?
I don't know. It's like what's that fucking movie? Snipes and Stallone. You know what I'm talking about.
Snipes and Demolition Man?
Yeah, Demolition
Man. Oh, the...
Yeah.
Fucking haven't even touched it. The hunk-a-chunka?
Yeah.
How do you remember fucking quotes from that movie?
I remember everything.
I know you know. You remember stupid knowledge. We've already discussed this.
I just remember
not everything. Not everything.
90% of shit I remember. But yes, it's fun. I don't know. Yay! Anybody got any plans this weekend?
Not really.
No?
I don't. Yeah, I don't know.
Cleaning nothing. The house. Lame stuff.
Yeah, kind of back in town now. Yeah, trying to catch up.
Yeah. Maybe I'll learn.
Boring.
Maybe I'll
Josh, learn. What are you doing?
Maybe I'll learn some Django.
Django?
Django?
Yeah.
Unchained?
Not the movie. Different.
What's Django?
Django is... Do you really want to know? You really don't want to know.
I asked.
Django is a... it's a library for Python that lets you produce dynamic web pages, essentially.
Okay. Come on, Josh. Django. Hello.
Web apps.
Snap.
Get in the know. I bet you're not doing that this weekend.
I am not. Actually, I don't even know what the hell I'm doing this weekend.
Fucking either. Slamming on us.
I know.
I do know I'm going to go see The Purge, Anarchy, and I'm going to go see...
Did you see the first one?
No, I didn't see the first
one.
It
was
Should I?
Fucking horrible.
No, I'm not going to watch
Which
it.
Is what I remember, but after watching the trailer for this one,
and
this
I'm
one
see,
looks cool.
I'm going to see Hercules. So I'm going to go see those two this weekend.
I want to see Lucy.
I think I'm going to see Lucy tomorrow night.
Lucy was weird. Like,
oh, you saw it?
I love Luc Besson. I love his movies. And this one didn't quite hit me right, I think because I didn't trust in the science that he was trying to fiction out. I didn't trust in all of
it. Yeah, that's one of those things.
It was too far-fetched?
It was a little too... maybe we'll find out eventually. It's fucking on the nose. But there were connections that he could not make in the movie. And there it was kind of... I don't know.
I think I'm going to see it tomorrow night.
Childlike is the wrong term. But it was very, like, immature sci-fi,
I think. Suspension of disbelief is a little low.
Yeah, you have to go a bit high with it. And I mean, I know there were parts of it too. I was like, well, why didn't she just do this? It would have been. I don't know, for filmic reasons, they chose more dramatic powers to show in certain parts. But there were parts where it was like, okay, I understand why you did that for the movie, but for the story, it would have been far more efficient to just do what she had done in the past.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like she used the powers in the wrong order.
Oh, okay.
In the story. Like, if they just edited some of the sequences to have some of the power show up in different ways, different times, then it would have been more effective.
Yeah.
So, it was a little out there.
How do you compare it to, like, Limitless?
Completely different tone. Completely different. Like, Limitless was like... Yeah. This goes way off the deep end.
Okay.
Of, like, evolutionary crazy.
Sure.
Yeah. So, it's a very different movie. Limitless was more like, hey, man, I'm the only guy who can do this now. And in this movie, it goes beyond, like, essentially, the only thing I can equate it to is giving birth. It's the only thing I can really equate it to. This movie is about giving birth to something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
There's that.
You guys recommend anything that you've seen recently Netflix-wise, or?
I will recommend Odd Thomas again. That movie's incredible. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it.
I just watched that documentary with Drew Struzan.
Is that on Netflix now?
Yeah, it's on Netflix. He's the guy that did all of the posters for Star Wars, Indiana Jones, and he
didn't he come and talk here?
When they screened it here, he came and talked. And it was probably a Monday or Tuesday Wednesday that we were all doing something in here or whatever. But yeah, no, it's awesome. The guys. The humbleness and just talent of this guy is insane. Like, you want to be his friend and just go hang out with him and learn everything he has to do.
Yeah.
It's quite an amazing. So
I'm finally
that.
Watching House of Cards.
Oh, yeah. That's really
good. I'm on the second season.
I haven't actually touched Netflix except for Odd Thomas in a long time, so I can't really recommend anything.
There's a new kind of mech Japanese show that's on right now. It's one of the ones that's like on new releases or something like
that. Is that the one that's
called Attack on Titan?
Is that the Attack on? Yeah, that's the with the big skinless.
Dude, that's the
giants.
One that Alberto has been telling me. You gotta watch it. You gotta watch
it.
It's so good. You
gotta
watch
it. I started watching like the first 5 seconds of it, and I was just like, it was kind of late, and it's all subtitled, and I was just like, I can't read right now. But I looked at it.
I got to get
awesome.
Through Full Metal Alchemist. I still have 12 episodes left of Full Metal Alchemist, and that show is so ridiculously engaging. It's awesome.
Watch Scandal.
What's going on with you? You've just
during the summertime when nothing is on TV, and you get home, you've done shit, and you're just sitting on the couch. I literally don't watch any TV. I just go on Netflix and I just We'll just basically just go through.
And you got through all the Green Arrows?
Got through all the Green Arrows.
Love Arrow, dude. Love that show.
Got, got all the way through Scandals. Just finishing the couple episodes of The Killing. Killing's a great show.
Hemlock Grove's supposed to be pretty good, too.
I started the first episode. I'm kind of
meh. I haven't watched any.
Yeah. But some of those shows, like, they're not great, like Scandal. It's, like, not a fantastic show, but it's enough to, like, entertain me, or I'm just like,
you got nothing better to
do? Yeah, nothing better to do. Next episode, what else am I going to do?
Learning?
Yeah.
You could be learning some shit.
Django. There's a bazillion things I could do besides fucking watching TV.
I went back through yesterday, and I watched the first half of, I always forget the name of this fucking movie. The first half of Casino Royale always jumps in front of the name. Quantum of Solace.
Oh, okay.
And it's like one of the most action-packed first halves of any movie ever, which is just awesome. The first car chase scene, and then when he's chasing the fucking guy up through into the museum, and I watched that just because I had to watch something really action-packed. But then I watched Skyfall immediately afterward, and they're so completely different movies, but
it's a different vibe.
The visuals in Skyfall, like, I didn't really appreciate them the first time I watched it, but the second time I watched it, looking for it, Roger Deakins was the DP on it, and it's incredible how graphic a lot of the visuals are. Like when they're fighting in the glass building, and it's just like it looks like a fucking comic book. It's so awesome.
Like with Skyfall, though, for me, it was the very first Bond movie, I guess, if you will, where I was more sympathetic for like the villain than anything.
Yeah.
Like I'm sitting here, I'm like, oh, fuck yeah! If I was in his position, I'd be doing the exact same thing.
Pretty much.
I'm like, this movie is not your whole like, you know, villain take over the world because he just wants to. It's like, you
revenge.
Know, he's seeking like revenge and the shittiness of like his life that he had to go through because of these people. Like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Up like yours Unforgiven. There.
Like Unforgiven, there's no real protagonist or antagonist. They're all bad guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, I remember watching the movie, I'm just like, I don't know how I feel about this right now. Like, I'm not like sitting there going like, go James Bond. I'm like, yeah, fuck you.
Yeah.
No, there's some amazing shots in that movie. Just the crane on the cars when he fucking drops the crane down and then it like dismantles and he comes walking in and fucking struts through and adjusts it. So clutch, dude.
There we go. So that's cool.
I think we've hit that point, boys.
We have.
I think we've hit that point.
Sun's going down. It's golden hour.
Episode number 97. God, almost 100, dude.
If anyone's still listening to the show, please send us suggestions for our 100th episode.
Yeah, by all means, let us know. Let us know for the 100th. Let us know what you want to hear.
We're gonna do it in the nude.
Whatever you want, we'll film. It'll be up on YouTube. I'll black out the parts you want to see.
The parts.
And then if you really want it, I'll send you the legit copy via something else. But. Yeah, I'm Jack Eckler.
I'm Josh Sprott.
I'm Sean Fennel.
And we're out. Bye. See ya.
Bye.
Nerdtastic. In 3D.